time now for Ask Anything, your questions answered by one of our experts. Today, Matt Ardrey is here. He's VP and Wealth Advisor with TriDelta Financial. Hello there, Matt.
Hi, Bruce.
The first question, and I'm going to read it out. It's, I contribute to RSPs through my work in Canada where I am a citizen but not a resident. I live in the U.S. Most of my work is in the U.S. and I pay tax there on all my world income. My question is it just better to leave those RSPs until I'm able to withdraw from them? Will I have problems doing so since I'm not a resident of the country? I know I'll have to pay taxes on those RSPs when I withdraw from them, but is that all that's required as a non-resident? What do you think?
Well, first and foremost, obviously, if the person's living in the United States, they would be paying tax on the worldwide income. So if they took money out of the RSP, that's Canada's income, so they pay tax there. Canada typically charges a 25% withholding tax on any lump sum withdrawals. Much less than what a lot of people would be paying if they were just taking it out as a Canadian resident. But what if the person can wait until it's a RIF, their payments could be considered periodic pension payments. And under the U.S.-Canada tax treaty, the withholding tax drops from 25% down to 15%. So again, you know, that's some way they could, you know, if they are willing to wait, they can definitely, hold off and save some tax that way. If they're not filing in Canada and contributing to an RSP, the one thing they're really missing out on is the tax deduction. So if you're filing no income taxes to Canada, the U.S. is not giving you an RSP deduction. So really the way I'm sort of thinking of it is you're putting money in, not getting a deduction. It grows tax deferred, yes, but you pull it out, you pay tax. So how beneficial really is that?
So you'd say, can you avoid those contributions and take that money home? Don't worry about the deferral because it's not being helpful to you, and invest it maybe in some sort of a 401k or something like that in the U.S.?
That's right.
Interesting. Well, a part two of this is the flip side for someone. Now, I was someone who used to live in the U.S. What happens if you have retirement savings there in a 401k or an IRA? They have their own alphabet soup of acronyms down there, too. How do you think about that?
Well, it's, one thing you can do with an IRA is you can repatriate it to Canada. You can repatriate it to Canada and actually put it into your RRSP. It's a little bit of a complicated process, and I wouldn't advise anyone just to sort of try to take a stab at it on their own. Essentially, the first thing you have to find out from your administrator is, do they consider your withdrawal sort of a periodic payment or not? Some of them will withhold 15%, some of them will withhold 30% tax. So that can make a really big difference. If you are willing to roll it into an RSP, really what's going to happen is even if they withhold the 15% tax, so let's say someone had $100,000 in their IRA, they would have $100,000 income inclusion in Canada. It generates one-year, one-time RSP room of $100,000. But since you had 15% withholding, you have $85,000 to put in. So right now you have a $15,000 income inclusion in Canada. If you have the extra money, you can put the extra $15,000 in the RSP, then your income inclusion's sort of at zero. The one thing that does come out of it, though, is this $15,000 of withholding tax. Again, that's a one-year foreign tax credit. So if you don't have another $15,000 or so of taxes payable in Canada against which you can use that, that money is going to be lost. So you really have to consider your specific tax situation before you just go ahead and say, yeah, I just want to move it back to Canada.
And is there a connection to the amount of RSP room you have here, or does this operate in a different universe? Is it sort of considered almost like a U.S. RSP, so you don't have to worry about the room?
That's right. You don't have to worry about the room. So the amount you're transferring in a corresponding amount of room sort of appears for 1 year on your tax return. You've got this 1 year of one-time shot of room, and that's it. It only exists for the year that you make the rollover. It does not carry forward like regular RRSP room. So you can almost consider it a special RSP contribution room.
People live and work all over the world these days. What are the kinds of characteristics that you'd recommend people look for when they're looking for help in navigating these issues, be they tax or investing? How do you find the right person for the job?
Well, it comes down to lots of times to experience and education. There's definitely, if you're looking at the United States, there's more and more cross-border firms and more cross-border experts cropping up that can definitely help you with the tax situation. The investment situation can be a little trickier. There's a lot of times that firms can't deal with non-residents. Especially in the U.S., you know, they get tied up in SEC regulations and whatnot. There's only a certain amount of U.S. Residents they can have on their books, so on and so forth. So you do get people. I was actually talking to someone today, who was dealing with a major bank, and they can't really deal in terms of getting any of their investments changed or anything along those lines, just quite simply because of regulations and dealing with non-residents.
How connected is the IRS to the CRA? Really what I want to know is, if you do something, is the tax body on the other side of the border going to know about it?
Like a lot of things that come in, you know, the personal finance world, the answer is, it depends.
Right.
They do talk to each other to a certain extent, but it depends on, how major it is, how much it affects it. Lots of times, especially when you look at the CRA, it's sort of a self-reporting system. So there's lots of people out there who do things that are not exactly, in the black or white. They're sort of in this gray area, and CRA doesn't come to audit them. Well, it's never decided whether they're black or white. So again, this sort of same sort of thing can happen. But the thing is you've got to really quantify your risk. Do you really want to be taking that sort of tax risk on?
Yeah. Matt, thanks very much for your insight.
My pleasure, Bruce.
Appreciate it. Matt Ardrey is VP and Wealth Advisor with Tri Delta Financial.